The following podcast may contain adult language and be burdened by glorious purpose. So get ready, nerds, because we're talking Loki, episode one. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the Salty Nerd Podcast. Today, we're going to be doing a spoiler discussion of Loki episode one on Disney Plus. So if you haven't seen it, make sure you go watch it first before you come back and check out the podcast, unless you just don't care. I'm joined, as always, by my fantastic panel of nerds, Matt Vader 74. Welcome, sir.
This is like the only show that releases a discussion about episode one after
episode two. We're so behind.
After episode two. It's literally releasing tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's
we have one day.
Yeah.
You know,
well, like a 12-hour window.
I'm not. So, yeah, it is what it is.
Quit your bitching and get back in the kitchen, Vader.
Wow, man. You know,
you're being mean. Jude's here as well. Welcome, Jude.
Hi.
And Matthew.
You always introduce me when I'm like in the middle.
You always drink. It's like you do a snarky remark and then you take a sip of whatever you're drinking
to soothe my throat from all the snark that just came out of it. I ordered a Loki t-shirt.
Oh yeah.
It didn't come in yet. No, so next week. It should be here by next week.
Right on. Matthew Kadish is here as well. Welcome.
Yes. So, I am after WandaVision and after Falcon and Winter Soldier, I did not have high hopes for this. I was pleasantly surprised.
Oh, same. Thank God.
Same.
Oh, I thought I was going to be the only one defending this show. Before we dive super deep into this episode, let's take a quick break and listen to some sponsors. All right, guys, let's get into it. So we're just going to talk about the episode. It's not a very long episode, but we get introduced.
It's an hour.
Is it an hour?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
There's like WandaVision length credits. It's like a 40-minute episode. Okay. Yeah.
There's a lot of setup here.
Yeah, very much a lot of setup, but I'm okay with it. So we catch up with Loki, of course, during, Endgame? The big finale for Avengers.
Way back in 2012.
Back in 2012. Was it 2012?
Yep. Mm-hmm. They say so on the screen.
Oh, in the movie it's 2012.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say Endgame came out like 3 years ago. We see the Tesseract gets knocked out of Tony Stark's hands while they're trying to steal it for the whole time loop destroying Thanos plotline.
If they had just been nicer to the Hulk,
it would have been
none
fine.
None of this would have happened.
So
Hulk hates stairs.
Loki grabs the Tesseract and is like, he does a little look around and then he just disappears. And this triggers an event where we get introduced to the new timekeeping. What's the name of them?
Time Variance Authority.
Time Variance Authority.
Mm-hmm. TVA.
TVA get a hold of Loki and say, you have broken the rules. You have to come with us.
And it's kind of cool that they like set up the storyline in Avengers Endgame. And mm-hmm. now we're getting to see it play out. That's the first time that they've done this. Falcon Winter Soldier, you had Cap passing the shield onto Anthony Mackie's character. And WandaVision, you had her, you know, mourning over Vision's loss, but this is like a direct tie-in to Endgame that we haven't gotten yet.
Yeah, you could literally watch Endgame, pause right where Loki gets the Tesseract, watch this show, and then probably go back and finish Endgame.
I think I might do that.
It's a cool thing. I do enjoy it. I love how the MCU kind of like has this nice mesh where they're in control.
A real good handle on the continuity. I mean,
they have a plan.
Seems like they have a plan.
Wow.
Seems that way.
How does that work?
Whether or not
they don't have like years of source material draw from. Okay.
Whatever. Lucasfilm. Okay. So we catch up with Loki. Loki gets captured by the Time Variant Authority and he gets taken to their basically like a DMV. Where they deal with people who have stepped out of bounds of the predetermined
timeline. This place is such a soul sucker.
Well, yeah, it's the Time Variance Authority headquarters, which is like outside of time. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever seen Terry Gilliam's Brazil, they basically lifted everything from that movie for this. It's like this infinite bureaucracy. And like the look and design of it, like I almost want to say like they got the set designers from the TV show Legion from FX.
Okay.
That we watched. Because the design is very Terry Gilliam meets Stanley Kubrick.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, and it's probably the most visually stunning show that we've seen from the Marvel Universe so far.
Yeah.
And I loved every minute because I was getting Brazil vibes like constantly throughout this thing.
Well, I love it because it has like that retro futuristic vibe, almost like Fallout video game. Yeah, everything's very retro, like 60s, 50s vibes, but it's got that futuristic element to it.
They got all this new tech, but they're using Commodore 64.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
And the cartoon where they explain what the Time Variance Authority is felt very Fallout, where it's that 1950s animation type thing. And
it was very like...
wait, there's a cartoon?
Did you even watch the show?
Oh, are you talking about the like...
the little cartoon.
The Mr. DNA dude?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very like when you'd go to the drive-in and the thing would come on and
Let's all go to the movie.
Yeah. It was so that for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very retro.
I did like how they used that to kind of really boil down the usage of the Time Variant Authority. Like instead of having two people just have a exposition dump where they talk to each other, it's like this nice little... This little cartoon quip that explains everything to you.
I thought it was very cute and clever.
Yeah.
I mean, what's interesting about the Time Variant Authority is that because it's outside of time, like they use like futuristic stuff mixed with like very like retro weird vintage stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like this mishmash of all different time periods.
Yeah.
I mean, the paper that Loki has to sign, like, please verify this is everything you've ever said.
Yeah.
It's got like the dot matrix, like printer, things on the sides and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that moment where they have him go through like the, are you a robot? Like, detector thing. And he's like, what if I am a robot?
What if I am and I don't know it? And he's like, well, then you'll be melted from the inside out. You'll be okay. Go ahead.
Let's just try.
Yeah. It was very funny. And I don't have any real salt for this opening scene. There is something I really want to talk about. So we kind of get Loki's going through the bureaucracy. He gets put in front of a judge. The judge tells him what you did wrong. We get moved through the story very quickly. And then we get introduced to Owen Wilson's character.
Mobius,
which I haven't seen Owen Wilson anything recently. I started watching that the TV show he's been doing with Selma Hayek.
Okay.
I thought that was a movie.
Was it a movie? Maybe it was a movie. I started watching it. I haven't finished it yet, but... it's interesting. So that's kind of like my only thing I've really seen him recently. It's really cool to see Owen Wilson in this show.
I love Owen Wilson.
He's perfect for whatever role that they're creating for him in this.
He's sarcastic.
Yeah.
He's believable.
I mean, he's Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
He's
perfect role for him.
He's not stretching his acting ability in at all.
But you know what's funny though?
We need to go do this and come there.
Honestly, like you can just pop him in front of a camera and he's going to do something that's charming.
Very charismatic.
Yeah. He's great in front of a camera.
Yeah. And I think he works well against Tom Hiddleston's very proper angst. You know, he's got that British angst where he's Loki. I'm better than this.
I always get him and Matthew McConaughey kind of mixed up.
Tom Hiddleston?
No.
Owen Wilson. Really?
Yeah. Well, it's funny, like Owen Wilson kind of excelled at like doing these like buddy movies where he had him and Jackie Chan in Shanghai Noon, him and Eddie Murphy. And
that's a good point.
Stuff like that. And so bringing him in to be like Loki's like foil.
buddy cop,
type thing, I think was a big stroke of genius.
It works.
There's a lot of stuff in this show that I think works out really well. See, here's the cartoon that we're watching right now.
That was just ripped right out of your favorite movie.
Yeah, the little Mr. DNA.
He's Mr. DNA.
I love it, dude. Sure. It's awesome.
Yeah, and there's just like so much interesting stuff. So basically, I don't think we explained this very well, but there's this thing called the Sacred Timeline, which these three Time Lords kind of like created to organize the multiverse because there was like a big multiverse war, and it was causing all this chaos, and so they combined everything into one Sacred Timeline. And occasionally there are these things called variants where people, for whatever reason, veer off their set path on this timeline and they create alternate timelines, which goes into the multiverse concept. And so the Time Variance Authority's job is to go find these variants, bring them out of the timeline, and then destroy that alternate timeline with these like charges that they leave behind.
Nip that in the bud.
Yeah. Yep. They literally call it pruning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Loki, by getting the Tesseract and teleporting away, he created a variant, which is an alternate timeline. And so he was arrested. And now this episode's about him.
He becomes a variant, right?
Yeah.
Well, he becomes a variant the minute he teleports away from being a captive of the Avengers.
So I wanted to address some concerns. I've seen other people talk about this, where this is kind of like ruining continuity for the movies. I've heard some complaints saying is like, okay, so by... later on in the show, they say everything that the Avengers did was supposed to happen, even though they jumped timelines and they stole stones from different timelines. Yeah,
so basically, Loki rightly points out, because this was the first thing that hopped into my mind when I was watching this. He's like, well, I saw the Avengers mess up their heist, which means that they had to have time traveled, which means that their variants as well. So give me a team. I'll go, you know, get them.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, what the Avengers did, they were supposed to do. They were approved to travel through time because apparently when they did their time travel and they went back and replaced the stones, they didn't create variants. So that was like the loophole that they used to justify, like, this was what the Avengers were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so that kind of was like the catch-all of justifying all the time travel that happened in Endgame.
I know you're a stickler for time travel, things that don't go right or don't follow the own rules that they set up. So how did you feel about that little explanation that they give? Do you think it was good enough? Or because I've seen other people say, like, this just ruins everything. They've thrown everything out the window from the movies and they're just doing their own thing in this episode.
I don't care about any of that. I really don't. I watch these shows just to enjoy myself.
Okay.
So if they're going to screw with the timeline, I just don't care about this franchise. It doesn't bother me at all. Maybe it bothers Matt.
I was going to ask Matt, do you think it was okay for them to do that? Or you think it causes some problems?
So first of all, I had a big problem with the use of time travel in Endgame. Mm-hmm. I did not think it was used well. And Marvel is introducing this concept of the multiverse in, you know, their next phase. So like the big Doctor Strange movie, which is going to address this, is called the Multiverse of Madness. Mm-hmm. And we kind of got hints of maybe WandaVision was going to address this, but they never actually did. It wasn't mentioned at all in Falcon Winter Soldier. Well, they kind of set up, because I know in the comics, Wanda is a Nexus being. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of what was established in this episode was these Nexus points where like there's an offshoot from the main timeline into an alternate universe. Wanda being a Nexus being means that she alone can probably create a lot of these like different timelines. And that might be something that's addressed in this show eventually. But what I'm thinking that they're leading up to is Loki might be the one who creates this multiverse and destroys the sacred timeline. And that's what leads into Doctor Strange. Mm. But and getting back to the time travel stuff. So first of all, the rules they used for time travel in Endgame were a mess, like didn't make any sense. So when we get here and they're just kind of like, it was almost like a Rian Johnson thing where it's like when he made Looper and he said, don't think about time travel too much. It's just going to hurt your brain. I like the fact that they just kind of dismissed that main criticism, like right out the bat. And the fact that there are branching timelines that are potential here doesn't destroy continuity because you have the main timeline where Loki did everything that he's done so far. And the idea is that these variants create these offshoots of the timeline that different stuff could have happened. And that's what this agency is trying to prevent. Mm. So to me, it didn't destroy any continuity. And I like the fact that they just kind of like nipped that whole, like, well, the Avengers did it in the bud, mm-hmm. like early on in this episode, made it very clear. And so like, I was like, okay, I can get on board with this.
Okay, cool. Right on. I'm actually really thrilled. You kind of brought something up I didn't really think about, but they're kind of setting up, it's possible that they're setting up Loki to be the big bad in Doctor Strange for like destroying the multiverse. Or
that's interesting.
That's very interesting. If they do go that direction, I'm not 100% sure they are.
Well, the cool thing in this is, so it's revealed at the end that the evil variant that they're hunting throughout, you know, Owen Wilson is hunting throughout the episode. Mm-hmm. is another version of Loki. And so you can have Loki as the hero and the villain in this series.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. That's very interesting. Very cool concept.
And he seems to be laying these traps for the Minutemen, which are the Time Variant Authority, like kind of like ground troops.
Mm-hmm. I love the name.
And he like, he's been killing these groups and stealing their time charges, which are these things that are meant to destroy the branching timelines to prevent multiverses from being created. And he seems to be collecting these things and you're just like, ooh, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
With them?
Yeah. It's very interesting. I really do.
Mischievous scam.
I love it. I love it. There's one part of this show that I thought was really the meat and potatoes of the whole episode was the discussion that Owen Wilson and Loki had about predestination, fate versus free will. And Loki was like adamant, like, I have glorious purpose. I am here for a reason. I am the one who determines my own destiny. And Owen Wilson's like, no, bro. Like,
we know everything you're going
to
do.
Yeah. It's like, you're literally here to uplift other people and you're going to fail. I thought that was a fascinating discussion.
He was like, your purpose is to be the villain so that the heroes can reach their potential.
Yeah.
And it was just, he pointed out for like someone with such glorious purpose, how come you never win?
Oh, dude, you could see it just broke Loki down.
He reduced him to a stapler.
Yeah. Oh, it was so cool. It was so like, I loved watching him like dismantle Loki's personality like that. I thought it was really interesting, really cool. And I think it's going to bring up an even more interesting conversation later on where Loki's going to, I think throughout this entire show, Loki's going to be insistent that he is the creation of his own fate. And I really want to see that battle between those two ideas because they're very, very conflicting.
I hate the idea that we're all just predetermined.
Yeah, exactly.
It bugs me.
And can you imagine like somebody telling you that, like, Vader, the reason why you still have to clock in and clock out of work is because it's already determined that's your reason.
Nope.
Like, imagine being Loki in that situation. Like, I thought that was a fascinating conversation.
What's funny is that brings us back to the main time travel debate. And they actually had this debate in Endgame where it's like you have the fixed timeline where everything that was supposed to happen happens. So you going back in time is part of the fixed timeline. So you were always meant to go back in time and do all this stuff. But then you have the multiverse time travel theory, which is when you go back in time, you create an offshoot so that the timeline that you were originally on still exists, but you're now on an alternate timeline that is going off in its own direction because you time traveled. Mm-hmm. And so like it's Back to the Future rules versus Terminator rules.
Right. Yeah.
It's a little weird how they did it in Endgame.
Yeah.
So, like the time variance authority thing actually opens up a lot of interesting avenues for the Marvel universe to go down, in my opinion, because you actually have something where you have some mythology there where you have the Time Lords who are like kind of directing everything. And then you have this agency which can go in and literally fix continuity problems throughout all the movies and actually bring in stuff where it's like, oh, well, you know, here's the Sony Spider-Man universe with Venom and all these guys. And this is how they start crossing over. And stuff like that. So,
interesting.
Yeah. I feel like this show's kind of setting the groundwork for that type of thing.
Okay. Before we continue the conversation, let's hear a word from some sponsors.
I feel like it gives us a really interesting perspective as far as power, too. And like my favorite part of the episode was when Loki is, he's standing there and he's just like, he's tried everything. And all of a sudden he realizes this is the ultimate power.
Yeah.
Like the DMV.
the thing that gets him is that, so like he escapes and he's looking to find the Tesseract because he believes that like the Infinity Stones.
And it's useless.
And he tracks down this guy. His name's Casey. He's like a clerk. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm going to gut you like a fish. And Casey's like, what's a fish? Because he's just worked in this bureaucracy his entire life. He doesn't know anything about the world. And he finds in Casey's cart, like all these different Infinity Stones along with the Tesseract. And he's like, what are all these Infinity Stones doing here? And they're like, oh, we get these all the time. Some of the guys use them as paperweights. And the idea is that because they exist outside of time and the Infinity Stones are the things that probably create the most variance when people try to like, you know, manipulate them or whatever. A lot of these Infinity Stones from branching timelines wind up at the Time Variance Authority and they have no power there.
Yeah.
And so Loki sees this and he's like, the Infinity Stones are the most powerful thing I know of. And I'm a god. And so the fact that these things are worthless here probably means that this is the ultimate power in the universe. And if that's the case, I'm screwed.
Yeah, okay. I'm completely powerless. Me being a god doesn't matter.
Yeah. I'm really glad you guys brought this up because this was another one of those gripes that people had. We're like, oh, now this freaking Infinity Stones are like useless. So all of the movies that have been revolving around the Infinity Stones, it's all just been for nothing. Like, Black Widow died for nothing because Infinity Stones don't mean anything anymore. I completely disagree with that.
Me too.
I'm of the mindset of like, it's very much so a comic book thing where you're on this level and you think Thanos and the Infinity Stones are the most badass thing you could ever encounter. Like it's got some weight to it. These are very powerful beings, yada, yada, yada. And then you go up to that next level and they're like, well, we're a step above that.
Yeah,
and this is like
shifting the perspective from what was going on over here to what's also going on over here behind the scenes. And it turns out like this is all stuff that's happening and it's very real and very powerful for you puny humans.
In this timeline.
In this timeline and in this world. But what's also happening is that we're all pulling the strings and making sure that you do what you're supposed to.
I thought it was
because
a real...
we already knew what you were supposed to be doing.
It's mind-boggling. I thought it was really clear that the Infinity Stones are like the number one thing that creates these time variants. Mm-hmm. And that's why like they keep collecting them is because like they just go off on all these like different...
They have to keep pruning it. They were all walking around with like the Thanos...
and like, it's like a joke.
Yeah,
like, look, guys.
Oh, I made this. Isn't it cute?
The weirdest part of this episode for me, though, was like the D.B. Cooper flashback. Where
That was great.
I thought that was so
that
cool.
That was great.
I thought that was like my favorite part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was so random because it's like D.B. Cooper was a real thing where he like, you know, did this heist where he parachuted out of an airplane and no one ever found him or the money that he stole. And in this, it's revealed that that was Loki. And it was just something that Loki just did because...
Because I lost a bet?
Because he's a scamp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I lost a bet with Thor.
Yeah. He's like the god of mischief. And so he just does this thing that's like legendary.
I loved it.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool.
And the reason no one ever found him is because Heimdall just like sucked him out.
Sucked him out with the freaking Bifrost. Yeah.
I just thought that was so random and weird. Like I thought that because I had seen that scene in the trailers for this series, and I thought that was going to play an actual role in the story. And it's just like, no, it's just like a side thing that you did.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool, but I'm glad that we're all kind of on the same page with the Infinity Stones. Cause I've seen a lot of people griping about that, but honestly, to me, I thought it was like the most comic booky thing you could have done is take this all powerful thing that we've seen in these 23 movies and turn them into nothing but a paperweight because we're in a different dimension now. Yeah. We are outside of time. We are outside of the influence of the normal universe.
Yeah. They even said that in the Time Variance Authority, like magic doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yep.
And the Infinity Stones, for all intents and purposes, are basically magic.
Mm-hmm. Magic rocks.
Bullshit devices.
The only thing I would be curious to see how the show addresses is Doctor Strange's Time Stone. Because if the Time Stone has power to manipulate time, then it would probably have some kind of an effect.
Well, the idea is that anything that on the sacred timeline happens was meant to happen. So if he manipulates time, it's within that sacred timeline that he's manipulating it. But if he creates a variant, that's when the problem happens. And that's why I think there were so many Infinity Stones is because those things do like create like a ton of like timeline off.
Those pesky stones.
That brings up a really interesting point about Doctor Strange in Endgame or even in Infinity War when he's sitting there and he's like going through his different versions and like, oh, I went through 14 million different versions of what could have happened. And this is the only one that worked. That's the sacred timeline. And everything else that could have happened would be a variant.
Yeah. Well, no, he wasn't creating variants though. He was looking at all the different possibilities.
Yeah. But I'm saying like he wasn't creating them, but he was like, okay, this is a possibility. But if they would have went that direction, that would have been considered a variant because it wasn't what was supposed to happen. Right.
Well, the idea is that no matter what they did, like it would have ended up being what the Time Lords had laid out for them.
Exactly. Yeah. So it kind of supports this show, that event in
Infinity
War.
It's all a bunch of weirdness.
It's comic booky, man.
It's very comic booky. And I like how you guys are all into this thing.
You're not?
I don't have an opinion on it yet.
Okay.
You're like this with every Marvel
show. I am. This is a long movie and I'm not going to give a solid opinion on it until probably the fifth or sixth episode.
Okay.
I'm just not. I this could be a total piece of crap after the third episode. And I'm sorry.
He's had his heart broken too many
times. Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm liking this way better than Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I am too.
Oh, yeah.
Falcon and Winter Soldier just went super woke.
It's a stronger start than WandaVision.
Yeah. I will agree. Yeah.
And I have high expectations.
I wonder how much of that is just Tom Hiddleston just being a charismatic.
Yeah. He's a good actor.
Seriously.
Yeah. It's so fun to watch
him. I like Hiddleston. I like Owen Wilson in this. Yep.
I liked Casey.
Casey was funny.
I like where it's going. I'm not hating it. I'm kind of enjoying this show.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to give it a solid whatever yet.
Okay.
Owen Wilson's Mobius character, like he's kind of like the time cop, you know,
the grizzled detective.
well, he's not even that grizzled. He's just kind of like one of those like, you know, working stiff detectives.
Yeah.
But you know, he's got like the cop stash and
he's kind of devil may care.
He's wearing brown.
Yeah. You can tell that he's smart and that he kind of plays outside the rule book by like dealing with Loki directly and stuff like that. And so like, I'm getting some fun buddy cop vibes going on here, but he's also like a lot smarter than Loki gives him credit for, because he keeps kind of like, outplaying Loki mentally, because this guy, he's basically infinite. Like, he's been around God knows how long, dealing with these time variant things. And so, like, he's just better equipped than Loki gives him credit for.
I like the time travel part of this. I like the different dimension part of this. I like how we had Mephisto show up in a...
Oh, the little stained glass window.
Yeah, window, like, yeah. Some foretelling there. Yeah, cool.
Remember how obsessed people were with Mephisto with WandaVision?
Yes.
yeah, that didn't pay off.
No, it didn't pay off at all.
I like the little rewind button clicker.
Yeah. I do. Okay, so there's another thing too, is like people were talking about how like Loki got like put down in this show. Like, oh, of course they neutered Loki. I completely disagree. I think for this first episode, he was kind of off his kilter because he didn't know about this.
Well, he totally turned the tables on.
Yes,
like, he falls into a world where magic doesn't work, and then he ended up figuring out how to like skirt the law.
Well, how cool was that part where like they hit him and then he goes into slow motion? They're like, you're at 1/16th like regular speed, but you can still feel everything. I'm gonna put this collar on you. And he's just sitting there like, whoa.
It was really funny, but I do like that. After he kind of gets his feet settled and he's like, okay, I understand the rules of the game now. And he immediately gets the upper hand on him. And I'm like, thank you. That's freaking Loki.
As soon as he took Owen Wilson's hand to help him up, I was like, oh, he's up to something.
Yep. As soon as he's like, yeah, all right, you can let me, oh God, I can't talk. You can help me get up. I was like, oh, he just stole the little clicker. Yeah.
And it wasn't until like, he kind of like realized his, like that the Infinity Stones were powerless at this place where he kind of gave up.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing that allowed them to kind of catch up with him, is because like, if he had actually continued his mischievous ways, like he probably could have found a way out of there.
Yeah. It's really cool. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. I think it's a very strong start, and I'm looking forward to where they're going to take it. I'm on your page though, Vader. We've been disappointed before with the Marvel shows.
I refuse to give this a grade yet.
So I'm going to wait.
I'll tell you, I'm glad that this is an hour long series. Mm-hmm. It's much stronger than WandaVision start off with. I hated, the first couple episodes of WandaVision. And then I liked the middle of it. And then I hated the ending. I hated all of Falcon and Winter Soldier. This is way more interesting and entertaining. And it seems to actually be setting stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For like the greater Marvel universe.
So what's next?
For shows?
There's a movie after this, right?
It's Multiverse of Madness.
So the next Marvel thing after this show is Doctor Strange. Well,
I mean, Black Widow, but...
That was supposed to come out two years ago.
That's collateral damage from COVID, though.
That's going to mess up the timeline that they're set up right now, because it was supposed to come out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But I think the next one that's going to come out is Doctor Strange, which will probably have a lot of ties to this movie or this TV show. All right.
Yeah, I definitely think that the new Doctor Strange movie, it's going to have... Well, we know for a fact it's got Wanda in it. Mm-hmm. So it's going to have ties to WandaVision. But I think that the whole multiverse concept is going to be really fleshed out and explored in this show. And that's going to set the stage for what we're going to see in the Doctor Strange movie.
I genuinely hope they stick the landing.
And also remember, like, Thor played like a role in the Doctor Strange universe, where, you know, Doctor Strange has like some type of ties to Asgard, where he was like, you know, talking to Thor in Ragnarok and also in the Doctor Strange movie. And so, you know, like the whole like metaphysical magic realm of the Marvel universe is very kind of intertwined. And I feel like this is crossing into another realm, which is like the timeline, which could be kind of attributed to the magic realm.
The Sorcerer Supreme would be completely powerless at the time variant agency, huh?
He wouldn't have any power.
Wouldn't have no powers at all. That's pretty cool.
I want to learn more about these Time Lords.
The lizard people?
Yeah.
Where'd they come from?
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
And they come from the mind of Stan Lee.
and where are they currently, and what are they doing? And like, you know, what's their motivation and what's going to happen? Because I feel like a setup here that I'm kind of getting a sense of is that like they disappeared a long time ago and everything's just kind of like on autopilot. Mm. And the time variance is the only authority that's been keeping everything kind of going.
There's a lot of goopies, weird stuff.
There is no captain on the Snowpiercer.
That would be really cool if they went that direction. We're like, yeah, things have kind of been just on autopilot. And if
Loki takes over and he's now controlling the timeline.
Oh, that'd be super cool. All right, guys, that's it.
He's now the new Lord of Time?
Yes.
What?
No.
and Tom Hiddleston does kill it in this role.
Yeah, he does.
We all love him.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, out of, you know, like, I think all the actors that they've had for, like, these characters are good. Like, you know, Anthony Mackie, Sebastian Stan, who played
Olsen, Elizabeth Olsen.
I really can't complain about the casting of any Marvel show.
Yeah, but
they've done well.
But Hiddleston is just so much more fun to watch than any of those other actors.
Like, I love that scene where he's like standing in front of that robot with the octopus arms. Yeah. And he's like, "Don't you dare touch this.
This is Asgardian leather."
Asgardian leather. And it's just like, "Boop, you're naked now."
Really funny.
Really it just knocked him down a peg.
Yeah. It was cool. And it'll be fun to watch him kind of build himself back up.
Yeah. And we kind of, speaking of variants, we kind of veered away from our normal recap on these things where I go kind of scene by scene through it and we comment on it. But we just felt like, you know, this warranted a general discussion because there's so many ideas and concepts in this show, which I think have the potential to go like lots of different ways. It was just easier to talk about them in general terms. And the ending of this really sets up like the bad guy, like
oh, the hood, and it's it's Loki.
Yeah, they think it's Loki.
Well, they said he's been go ahead.
But what if it isn't
Loki? Don't mess with me that way.
and it also makes you question everything that you've seen in the trailers. Is like, was that the good Loki or the bad Loki?
All right, guys, that's it. That's our discussion for Loki episode 1. We really enjoy this. We're hoping for the best. We'll see if they can stick the landing. Stay tuned every week. We're a week behind on these episodes. Yeah. That's okay. Stay tuned every week. We're going to talk about the previous week's episode, do full spoilers and everything like that. So like, subscribe, comment below what you thought of the episode. Let us know. And as always, Matt Vader, where can they find you on the socials?
You can find me at MattVader74 on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube and
all the places.
Yeah, I don't, mostly Twitter.
Okay.
And YouTube. Yeah.
And Jude, where can they find you?
You can find me at I am Jude Juju on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
And Matthew Kadish.
You can find me at Matthew Kadish, KADISH on Twitter, and KadishBooks.com takes you to my Amazon page.
And I am Alex, the Salty Nerd, and catch me on Twitter at Salty_Nerd. And as always, stay salty, my friends.